You are above all powers. You're above all things. There is no way that we can say what we were. But we can make it our job to strive to constantly tell you what you mean to us.
And may we be mindful this morning of who you are as we participate in singing, praying, and hearing your message. May we hear you, and may we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise you, Lord.
those who are touched through our outreach, Adventure Club kids, Lunch Buddies at East Hampton, our discipleship groups, our daily contacts in life, our families. Thank you, God, that we can say everything to you. We pray for your guiding and leading in preparation for private school. We pray that you would be nudging those that you want to attend private school. We ask that you would be with Abraham as he begins his internship and as he prepares to come and serve with us here. Help us to welcome him and to be prepared for his coming. Guide us in what you want to happen here at Argentina tonight. Give us strength. Give us wisdom. Help us to love.
Good morning. I'm going to do something just a little bit different this morning. I told Joseph that we were going to do some photojournalism this morning. So for scripture reading, I want to turn to Psalm. Okay. Oh, I don't have this turned on, do I? I want to turn to Psalm 107, be reading the first 8 verses. However, the scope of the message goes all the way through the 107th Psalm, some 43 verses. So this morning, the title of the message is Praising God for Who He Is. We'll be reading Psalm 107, verses 1 through 8. I'll just allow you to remain seated. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His faithful love endures forever. Okay. Somehow or another, okay. Okay. Is it right mouse click? Okay. Verse 2, has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out. Tell others He has saved you from your enemies. Okay. I don't know. I'll try to roll it. For He has gathered the exiles from many lands, from the east and the west, from the north and the south. Some wandered in the desert, lost and homeless. Hungry and thirsty, they nearly died. Okay. Lord, help, they cried in their trouble, and He rescued them from their distress. He led them straight to safety, to a city where they could live. Let them praise the Lord for His great love and for all His mercy to them. And in King James Version, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Lord, we do thank You this morning for this message that You've given us through the song. Lord, we do ask that You would help us this morning. We ask that You would empower us for Your honor and glory. Open these lips of clay to praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Psalm 107 pleads with us to praise the Lord. But what do we mean when we say praise God? How do we praise when it comes to the ultimate being in the universe? Well, we sing praise songs. We sang some praise songs this morning, didn't we? We sing praise songs in our morning worship service. We have regular praise times in our sharing and testimonies during worship. We praise as we lift our hands towards heaven and praise Him during services. Now, there's a lady in Indiana, Sandy Anthony. None of us know her, I don't believe. But she tells this story. She says, during a recent Sunday worship service, our congregation sang the chorus, I exalt thee, Lord. As I sang, I glanced down at my 5-year-old daughter standing there beside me. Her little arms were up in the air, and she was singing, I'm exhausted, O Lord. It wasn't quite the same meaning, but she at least got part of the words. We praise God when we use spiritual gifts that He's given us and the abilities He's given us to appropriately build up His body, the church. The psalmist repeats 4 times in Psalm 107, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of man. Now, what does that scripture really mean when it exhorts us to praise God? Well, praise means literally that we ascribe value and worth to God. That's from Unger's testimony, Unger's dictionary. Praise of God is the acknowledgement of His perfections, His works, and His benefits. Praise must necessarily acknowledge that God is real, that He exists. He is the one that is being praised. When we praise God, we recognize that He is very real and that He deserves all that we ascribe to Him and so much more. Then we look at those who do not believe in God. The atheist, for example, has no part in praising the one that they say doesn't even exist. I don't think there are any very true atheists. I mean, really pure atheists in the world. Because to be atheist, you have to say that God does not exist. Well, if you say God does not exist, you have to acknowledge that He is God in the first place. So it's a circular sort of thinking. We sing the doxology. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And there is the Mennonite doxology. We won't try to sing that this morning. I love it, though. It's the same words with addition to it. The psalmist in 107 was deeply moved not only to praise God Himself, but to lead all who might be influenced by reading and singing this psalm into His praise as well. Now listen to what it exhorts. Our thesis this morning is this: we praise God for His provision, His patience, and for His providence. Now, why should we praise God, praising Him for who He is? Why should we praise the Lord? We should praise Him because, first of all, He is good. He is a good God. That's what verse 1 says. David, the author of the Psalm of Hope, and by the way, this is the first of the Psalms of Hope. 106 ended the other Psalms of Praise, and this is the first Psalm of Hope in the book of Psalms. David, the author of this Psalm of Hope, was a man of praise because he learned from God's goodness. It was a good God who gave David the victory over the lion and the bear while he was attending the sheep. He grabbed the lion by his beard. I haven't found a beard on a lion yet. When I get that close, I don't want to find a beard. I want to find safety. But anyway, he grabbed the lion by the beard and slew him. And same with the bear. It was a good God who gave David victory over Goliath. It was a good God who protected David from King Saul. It was a good God who established David as ruler over Israel. It was a good God who gave David forgiveness when he committed sin. David's praise came from a thankful heart for the one who had blessed him so greatly. Now, God's work of creating is done. Our work of praising has just begun. And then the next point. We should praise God because we are redeemed in verse 2. Once we were in the enemy's territory. We were once in the enemy's hands. Romans 6 verse 16 says, don't you realize that whatever you choose to obey becomes your master? You can choose sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God and receive His approval. And then Romans 6, verse 20 says, in those days when we were slaves of sin, you weren't concerned with doing what was right. Now, what are these scriptures telling us? They're telling us that when you're in the enemy's hands, you're a slave to that enemy. To sin in Romans 7, 25. You're bound to obey your master. The sad reality is that if your master is Satan, he won't pay the consequences of sin. You will. And that's in Romans 6, 23. And second, when in the hands of the enemy, one is subject to the enemy's tactics. One of the most destructive tactics he uses is that of rebellion. And it's no wonder, because he is the penultimate rebel. He rebelled against God. When God said do good, Satan said do evil. When God said don't, Satan says do. When God says do, Satan says don't. He's the penultimate rebel. And so he uses this tactic. He's used it down through the ages. He used it on Israel and it worked. So he's revived it again, and now it's being used in the church and in this world today. But first, he employs rebellion against the word of God. He incited rebellion against the word then in Israel's time. Aaron, the leader in Israel, was rejected from entering into the promised land in Numbers 20, verse 24, because of rebellion against the word of God. Then Satan used the tactic of rebellion against God's principles. God's plan of Israel was apparent and anticipated and articulated. Israel was to be the example. They were to be the banner. They were to guide the rest of the world to God. He established them as a banner for all nations. But God's people continued to rebel. Israel fell frequently into idol worship. The outstanding example that that comes to mind is the worship of the golden calf under Aaron's supervision. Aaron was the priest of God, and he led the people he formed. He says he got all their gold earrings, all the gold that they could get together, and he says he threw it into the fire and out came this calf. Well, it doesn't work that way. It has to be a mold or there has to be a forming, but they rebelled. However, in Numbers 2:2, God commanded that they fly an ensign or standard identifying them with their father's house. Here's the, and I wish I would have had a slide for this, and I didn't. But here's the picture. Here's Israel camped on the desert floor. All around the desert floor, everywhere you look, 2 million people in the desert, in tents, and they're camped around this desert floor. Right in the middle is the tabernacle. The tabernacle where God is worshipped. And every tent is to have a banner flying over the top of it telling who their family was and who their tribe is, who they belong to. What a deep spiritual application. The flag and the location of the tabernacle denoted that they were God's. They belong to God. Is your flag flying? What do others read in your flag? What does the world read from it? Does it say, I'm one of God's children? Or does it say, he's not my king. I choose another God. I choose another king. Many today are rebelling against God's principles. They identify with Christ, but rebel against his light. But God's principles haven't changed. Does the banner over our life read, Christ is all? Now, what does that mean? Let me just go through some suggestions. He's my heart. He's my will. He's my talk. He's my walk. He's my appearance. He's my conduct, among other claims. Your banner must read, sold out to him, sold to Christ. There's a course that proclaims his banner over us is love. I want to give you just a little bit of an unplanned example this morning. When we were in Haiti, things got pretty dicey at times. We would feel that it took a month to get a letter back from the mission board. And we didn't have telephones. We had prayer and we had snail mail. Email wasn't invented yet. Internet was a thing of the future. So we would write about a problem that we had, and a month later we'd get the response back, let's pray about that. Well, we've been doing that. But we would go out to the Wesleyan compound, the Wesleyan mission, and the Ortlips would lead us in worship, in family worship. And one of the songs that we frequently sang is His banner over us is love. And I learned to appreciate that. So why should we praise the Lord? Okay, I got behind, didn't I? Okay, so why should we praise the Lord? Okay. Okay, I'm sorry, okay. I'm not used to this modern equipment. I'm used to Jeff sitting down there and punching the buttons when I was ready for the next point. He satisfies the hunger and fills, I'm sorry, he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things in verse 9. And then, just who are those people that to whom God made this promise? There are those that who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, bound in affliction and iron. David was talking about Israel here for sure, but what brought them to that place? The place of slavery, the place of bondage, the place of serving the enemy. They rebelled against God's word and scorned His counsel is what brought them there. Even in their waywardness, God gave them hope if they would but turn to Him. He said, and He did, satisfy their longing. There's a God-shaped vacuum in each of us. Nothing will fill that void but God alone. He alone is able to satisfy the longing of our soul. So many of us try to put a square peg into a round hole, and it doesn't fit. Or a round square, a round peg into a square hole. We have a God-shaped hole in our hearts, and only God can fill that. Praise is more than singing. It's the saint reflecting the life of Christ. Let me say that again. Praise is more than just singing. It is singing, but it is the saint reflecting the life of Christ. So why should we praise God? There's good news. There's good news if you're held by the gates of brass and the bars of iron. That's the brass and gates of rebellion. That's the brass and gates of iron of slavery. Rebelling against God's word and principles, we become enslaved to the enemy. The psalmist affirms that God has broken the gates and cut the bars or split the bars of iron. When they cry to the Lord, He saved them. You see that theme all the way down through Psalm 107. He alone is able to still the waves of the rebellious spirit, just like He stilled the waves when His disciples said, "Lord, we perish. We're going to drown. Lord, we're going down." He got up and said to the waves, "Peace be still." The waves stopped. Something quite unnatural for waves to do on the Sea of Galilee. And then He looked at His disciples and said, "How are you so small in faith? Trust God." He healed them. He healed us. He heals people, body and soul. He's delivered those who we might consider undeliverable. Now, He delivered the homeless and gave them a city to live in. He delivered the slave, leading them into liberty. He healed the afflicted, the sick. God, or Christ, did this extensively during His ministry on earth. The storm-tossed He led to calm and into a haven where they could be safe. He restored our sin-sick soul. To full fellowship. Now, even in times of rebellion, God will forgive us as conditions of repentance are met in our by His people. Charles Wesley wrote, "Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my Redeemer's praise." We sing that song now, written by Charles Wesley. The idea is, I can praise Him with one tongue. How about giving me 1,000 so, and I still wouldn't be able to do it right. On earth, join all creatures to extol Him first, Him last, Him midst, and without end. John Milton said that. In conclusion this morning, I want to repeat. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. 4 times David repeated this at the end of the calamities. Each time is an estrophe, and in English it's a verse. It starts with God being good, continues to man being rebellious and enslaved to sin, getting themselves into trouble, crying out to God, and God delivering them. That happened 4 times in this psalm. Erwin Lutzer wrote this: "You don't learn to praise God in a day, and especially since you may have been complaining for years. New habits take time to develop, but you can begin today and practice tomorrow and the next day until it becomes a part of you." Let's continue to praise God, to acknowledge Him, to take His word and His principles to our lives and into our lives. Did we have a response now?